Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're sure glad you're here, and you're here for a great show. Corey's going to join us to help us all plan better Disney vacations. Been looking forward to this show for quite a while, so you're in for a treat today. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt and Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. I know that you're a Disney fan. You're tuned into a Disney podcast right here to start your week. But think about those other folks who maybe are, you know, peripheral Disney fans. Maybe they're not as hardcore as you are, but they do like the idea of Disney and how Disney does things. And even the story of Walt Disney, who got it all started. It's all about the guest experience. It's all about customer service. You may have coworkers, family members who are trying to improve themselves in their families and at work. These are both great books to give a little background on Disney, Walt Disney himself, and to better yourself in your relationship. So drop by The Wisdom of Walt today, pick up a copy of The Wisdom of Walt or the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, and have a great read. It's a good time to pick up an awesome book. Check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures, and so much more. For the cost of a counter service meal down at Walt Disney World, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1300 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Hopefully you had a great weekend behind you. Daylight savings time now in effect most places here in the United States. So get outside, enjoy that little bit of extra daylight each evening. Maybe go for a walk or just, explore the neighborhood. Whatever it takes, get outside and enjoy the outdoors and get active. Today, we're going to talk about just that. We're going to have a great show. I've been looking forward to this one for quite a while. It's not often we have experts joining us here on the podcast. Actually, it's quite rare. It never happens on a Friday with Ricky, Pam, and I. We're just three goofballs. You can actually learn something to make your next Disney vacation awesome. So we have Corey Lee joining me from down in Northwest Georgia. He is from CurbFreeWithCoreyLee.com. Corey, thanks for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. I love the podcast.
Oh, man, when you told me that, I was so pumped because you are literally an expert when it comes to navigating Walt Disney World in a wheelchair. And, of course, your website is CurbFreeWithCoreyLee.com, which I think encompasses more than just Disney, but, how to make the most of a Disney trip, no matter what your abilities are, physical constraints, things like that. So when you said you listened to the show, and I know that you've talked to some of my heroes like Leo Laporte, you've been on with USA Today. So, I mean, like I said, we don't have any experts around here. So thanks for giving us the time today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. And I've visited Disney World. More times than I can even remember or count. So pretty much every year my entire life, and I did the college program there and all kinds of stuff. So I've learned a lot along the way about it.
All right. So tell us your backstory, because of course with Disney, everything is about the backstory, and you know, it's just not a palm tree in Tomorrowland. There's, a 3,000 word essay telling you why that palm tree is there and why it's that tall. So what's your connection to Disney? You said you've been with it your whole life. So kind of walk us through a brief summary of why Disney's so important to you.
Yeah, well, really, the first trip that I ever took was to Disney World when I was 4 years old. And I don't really remember everything about that trip, but I remember like going to the character breakfast and seeing the castle for the first time. And I remember it being such a great experience because I went with my mom and my grandparents, and my dad went, and like pretty much my whole family went on that trip. And that was really one of the only trips that we all went on together. And so that was really just such a great experience. And it really, I would say, sparked my love of travel because it was the first trip. And since then, I've been to 24 countries across 6 continents. And I mean, it's really, I always love going back to Disney just because it brings back so many memories of that first time and all of the times since then also.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it is. You know, when you get a taste of it as a kid and you really enjoy it as a family that, you know, for me, we didn't have really the means kind of growing up or just I played a lot of sports. So we just it wasn't a priority for my family, I could say. But then as soon as I got out of high school and in college and had a little bit of extra income and I kind of got the itch to be able to visit Walt Disney World and, you know, get out there and see some stuff, I think that it does get back to those initial memories that you make with your family and just how that made you feel. And, you know, you've traveled the world. And so I'm sure that that's, like you said, that's kind of the spark for it. And now you're just expanding your world all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, when I was growing up, like after that first initial trip, my mom and I, she was a school teacher, actually. So or she was actually a parapro, like the assistant for a school teacher. So she would be off for 3 months every summer. And we would really use those summer months to kind of explore domestically. And pretty much every summer we went to Disney World. And we really didn't have much money either, but we would do those like timeshare sessions in Orlando, you know, to get free tickets to the parks and like stay in the cheapest of the cheap hotel that we possibly could. We stayed in one that was like $29 a night one time, and I'm pretty sure it had bed bugs, but I mean, we survived and we still had a blast, so it's all good.
I'm glad you're here to tell us the story after that, man. That got me a little nervous there. I've heard stories.
Yeah.
So let's give some practical tips here today, because I want to kind of make this time very valuable for our listeners while we have you here. So let's talk about just traveling in general, not Disney yet, but like, you know, flying or driving, just getting to your destination, especially in a wheelchair. Like, what tips have you learned that somebody that has reduced mobility might not think about, but something where they can advocate for themselves or make this a more pleasant experience?
Yeah, I mean, we could really talk about tips for the next 10 hours if you want to, but I'll try to narrow it down a bit. But really the biggest thing that I've learned is to really try to book your trips out as far in advance as possible. So whenever I'm traveling, whether it's to Disney World or to Finland or Israel or somewhere far flung, I really try to start planning about a year in advance usually, just because that kind of gives me more time to research like accessible hotels or like accessible attractions or restaurants or everything like that, because I don't want to show up to a destination and then be trying to figure out, well, how am I actually going to get to an attraction? Like, are there accessible taxis or accessible public transportation and things like that? So really just planning as far in advance as possible can really eliminate a lot of that research once you're there on the ground within the destination.
So
I mean, it's the same for Disney also.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's jump in there because, again, you know, this is something I haven't had a lot of experience with personally. How would you rate just in general? I know it varies destination to destination and probably mode of transportation and everything. There's so many variables with everything. But, I mean, are things trending better as far as accessibility and being able to have you know, a really good vacation experience, or are there frustrations? I mean, what have you learned?
I mean, with every trip or experience, there are definitely going to be some frustrations, I think. But I mean, within the past 4 years since I started the blog, I've definitely noticed that accessibility is getting better around the world. And I think that people within destinations, whether they rent an attraction or a hotel or a tourism board, they're really starting to like wake up and realize that the accessible travel market is there and we want to spend our money on travel, people with disabilities do. So I think that's really helpful. And there's a lot of research behind it. Like, people with disabilities spend over $13 billion per year just on travel. So, I mean, a lot of people have like this preconceived notion, I think, of people with disabilities as staying at home, like not really getting out of the house that much. And it's actually the total opposite. Like, we want to travel, and I hope that destinations will realize that even more in the future and start making their destinations more accommodating.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's not just a fact of, you know, it's the right thing to do. But I mean, we've seen this. I mean, we're all Disney fans and we get this as much as we think it's, you know, and it is about the magical memories you make there. We also have to look at the pragmatics and the practical sense that Disney's there to make money. And so this is a market that, you know, it makes sense for everybody to embrace and engage with. So that makes me glad that it is trending in the right direction. Now let's kind of hop into real quick. Do you fly often, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so we kind of talked, and, you know, I'm kind of new to flying. You know, I'm excited. Like, I like to fly now. I can't believe I say that because I used to. You would have not ever caught me on an airplane, but now I kind of like seeing things from up above. So what tips have you learned about flying? Because I just know I always fly Southwest. I buy my early bird. I'm a sucker. I buy the pay the extra money to get on the plane first so I can get a window seat so I know where I'm at, like it matters. And then, I sit in and I say my prayer and hold my breath for a couple hours and I get there, you know. So I don't know a lot about that. So what tips could you give somebody that's flying that they might need to think about?
Yeah, I mean, flying is really, it's the thing that I dread the most about traveling always, just because it's really difficult for me to actually, like, I can't take my wheelchair on the plane with me. So I always worry about, like, will it get damaged down in the cargo hold during flight? Will it actually be usable once I get to the destination? And then I have to actually transfer from my wheelchair into a little, like, aisle chair, which is just a really thin wheelchair that's not comfortable at all, that basically is just small enough to fit down the aisle of the plane and take me to my seat. So the people that work with the airport, they actually have to physically lift me up into the aisle chair and then into the plane seat from that. So it's a lot of lifting, and I've been nearly dropped a lot. But I mean, really, I would say, I mean, Southwest is great because they actually let wheelchair users board first, as does Delta or any American airline and most international airlines. And so they do have resources in place that help. But I would say that if you're flying with a disability, then really be sure to study the Air Carrier Access Act, the ACAA. And it's basically a set of rules and laws and guidelines that say what is possible on a flight and, like, what laws are in place to protect people with disabilities as they fly. And so about a year ago, I started really studying that, and now it's made me more confident to fly because I know, like, if the airline tries to say that I can't board first or I can't get the bulkhead seat, which has more room for me to actually get into it, then I know that they're breaking the law, and I can bring that up to them, and then hopefully they'll realize their mistake a bit quicker.
Good to hear. Yeah, because, you know, I think everybody needs to be aware of their rights and the laws, you know, in general, which is really good because that way you have a clear expectation of, you know, what you can expect. And, you know, some people have unreal expectations, and, you know, you don't know. I think it's first time travelers many times. So let's head down to Walt Disney World. That's where we're going to, you know, focus here. And, you know, maybe give us some tips. Here's a tip I don't know if folks know that I've learned, you know, over the past years being a travel agent and helping guests book accommodations for their Disney vacation, is that on our main site where you pick, you know, your basics of your trip, your, you know, how many guests, what kind of ticket you want, what kind of dining plan, and then what hotel you're looking for, there's a small button there that you can press, and it will show, you know, all of your accessible rooms, whether it's a hearing, like somebody has a hearing loss, where it'll have visual alerts if there's an emergency, or roll-in showers, or, you know, things like that. So Disney makes it really easy, but I don't know if people are aware, because you get in such a rush that you don't see that little box to select, and it'll give you, you know, many, many more options when it comes to accommodation. So just little things like that. So what other things have you learned that could help somebody plan a better Disney vacation?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love that Disney has that little box right there. It's like you don't have to really search the website to find it like a lot of other places. So, I mean, Disney definitely is one of the most accessible places in the world, I believe, and definitely the most accessible theme park that I found. And so, I mean, really, as far as tips go, I would say to like when you actually get to the theme park, go to customer service immediately on your first day and request the access pass. And basically what this is if you go to an attraction and there's like a 2-hour wait and you don't have a fast pass for it, then you can just present your access pass, which is on your Magic Band, and they can just scan your Magic Band. And then instead of waiting in the line for 2 hours in the heat, you can actually just leave and then come back in 2 hours and get straight onto the ride. So that's really a huge time saver and something that helped me during my recent trip. It saved me a lot of time, and I was really able to do a lot more attractions than I would have been able to by waiting in line all the time.
Well, speak to this too, Corey, because, you know, I think that, you know, there's been, you know, controversies over the past, you know, 3 to 5 years about people trying to, you know, gain the system and you know, use it to their advantage when maybe they didn't necessarily need the advantages. You know, like you just said, this isn't like a golden ticket that, boom, you're automatically getting first on every attraction. Like you said, you're still waiting 2 hours. You're just waiting in a different way, in a different location. So maybe speak to our audience about that, because I think it's important that we all understand that, because I think this is a very fair and very important system that Disney's put in place. And I think they've done it the best that they can, because I don't think that they're ever going to have a perfect system that everybody understands and everybody perceives as fair, but what's your take on that? Because I think it's very important to hear from everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I in the past, like when I visited Disney World, I would go and get the Access Pass, and it was actually a different version. I can't remember what it was called. I don't think it was the Access Pass, but maybe it was. But they would just hand it over with like no questions asked. But this time, like a couple weeks ago, when I visited Disney World, they were asking me like a lot of questions, and they really, it felt like they were interrogating me almost, which was totally fine. And I mean, I understand why they do it, because they can't give it to everyone. But I mean, it really seems like they're trying to focus more on giving it to people that actually need it, as you said, which is great to see. I mean, as for me, whenever, if I was waiting in line for 2 or 3 hours and needed to use the restroom, I mean, I can't really, you know, get out of the line easily to go to the restroom and then come back or something like that. And the heat also really affects me. Like if I'm out in the heat or out in the cold too much, then it can affect my muscles actually, where I can't really even move or drive my wheelchair almost if I get really cold or really heated. And a lot of people with multiple sclerosis are the same way, and with other disabilities also. So, I mean, that's really the reason why people with disabilities need the Access Pass. And I mean, I'm really thankful to Disney for putting these new regulations in place and making it not as easy, because it used to be really easy for people to game the system, I think. And so, I mean, I am thankful that these regulations are in place now.
No, I'm thankful too, because I think everybody needs to have a great magical Disney experience. And, you know, I come from public education, obviously, for the last 17 years, where I've seen that, you know, that we, over the years, I've made many accommodations for gifted kids, for kids in wheelchairs, for kids with spina bifida, you know, from all kinds of situations. And the thing is, you know, in my classroom, everybody just was entitled to a great education, no matter what it took. And I think that's what Disney's doing. Everybody's, you know, when you go down there, everybody's paying their money. Nobody's getting a free ride, and right, everybody's entitled to, you know, you get to meet characters, you get to have great meals, you get to have awesome experiences at resorts, you get to do great attractions. And I want everybody to get that no matter what it takes. So walk us through, here's what I'm curious about, you know, and I have a lot of curiosities. I'm so glad to talk to you. You know, a busy day down at Walt Disney World is just nuts. I mean, like, I'm trying to keep track of Mallory and my wife, and Paige goes off and we don't see her for a couple days. She's another case. She's a college kid. But, like, what's it like for you when it's really, really busy and you're trying to just navigate the crowds? Because that's frustrating for anybody, but I could imagine it's pretty tough for you.
Yeah, I mean, the crowds are definitely rough, especially after the nighttime shows. So we went to Fantasmic, and then, you know, actually getting out of Fantasmic, I ran over a few toes, I think. Sorry if any of those people are listening, but I'm sorry about that. But yeah, I mean, it's, the crowds can definitely be an issue, but it's just something that I've learned to kind of navigate and deal with. And I mean, you're at Disney World, so it's worth fighting the crowds, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's a typical day at Disney. During my most recent trip, was waking up early, getting to the park as soon as it opened. I mean, I still enjoy character breakfasts all the time, so I always love them because they bring back a lot of childhood memories, as we said earlier. But yeah, I mean, usually I can do, like, I would say like 5 to 7 attractions in a day with the Access Pass. So I think that's pretty good. And there are actually a lot of accessible rides at Disney World, which is surprising if someone's never been, maybe, because when I think of theme parks, I usually think that, oh, I can't really do anything there. Like, I'm just going to be able to watch the shows and not really participate in any rides, like with my family or friends that are joining me. And so that's really why I love Disney so much also, is because I can actually do the attractions with my friends and family.
Well, speaking of the attractions, I mean, is there anything that is that you can't do because of your disability, or is there something that... because you mentioned that, like, I'm just wondering, like, the newest things, like, say, a Flights of Passage or a Navi River Journey or, you know, things like that. I mean, is there anything that you haven't got to experience that you would like to?
Yeah, the one ride that I really, really wanted to experience during my recent trip was the Navi River Journey. And I am able to do, like, It's a Small World and, like, the Jungle Cruise and Journey of the Little Mermaid and all of these other attractions. And I know that Navi River Journey, or I thought that it was kind of a slower paced ride, so I thought that it would also be accessible like the others, but it's actually not. You have to transfer into a seat and like out of the wheelchair, and I can't really transfer into the rides, so I need to be able to stay in the wheelchair. And unfortunately that one wasn't accessible. And of course, like all of the roller coasters or like the fast paced rides, those are not accessible. But I mean, there are at Magic Kingdom, there are about 5 rides that I can do. And then at like Animal Kingdom, I can do the Kilimanjaro Safari. They have a truck with a lift on it, which is really awesome. And that's always one of my favorite rides also. And then like the Festival of the Lion King show and all of the shows, of course. But I mean, there are plenty of things that I can do. That definitely make it worth it to visit.
So let me ask you about getting to the parks and staying at the resorts, you know, stuff outside of the theme parks. You know, how do you typically travel? Is there a specific resort or resorts that you like at Walt Disney World? And do you use the bus transportation? Do you get yourself, you know, do you use personal transportation? How's that work out for you?
Yeah, so the really great thing about Disney is that all of their public transportation is wheelchair accessible. So the buses, the ferries, the monorail, all of that is fully accessible, which is fantastic. And I usually, or during the past like 10 years, I've stayed at Disney resorts only because it's much easier to use their transportation than actually driving into the park from an outside hotel and doing it that way. So my favorite resort I've stayed at is probably the Art of Animation. And I stayed in the Lion King suite, which was really great. I mean, it had like 2 bathrooms and it had a roll-in shower for me and the accessible bed and bedroom. And I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Lion King anyway, so being able to stay in the Lion King suite was pretty awesome. But during my most recent trip, I stayed at the Yacht Club Resort, which was also really great. And it's a bit pricier, but there is a lot around the resort that you can do. And I went to like Beaches and Cream and got to do the character breakfast at over at the Beach Club Resort in the Cape May Cafe. And so there's really a lot more at the Yacht Club and Beach Club that you can do in the area. But I would say the Art of Animation has been my favorite though.
So do you have any, and again, I wish I knew the answers to this, so I'm sorry if it, you know, sounds like a dumb question because I just don't have a lot of experience, but say when you're staying at Yacht Club, do you have any issues like with your power chair throughout the day, you know, as far as maybe, you know, taking your power chair over to Epcot and, you know, maybe going around World Showcase, going up to, you know, Spaceship Earth to see in Future World and then getting back? I mean, is there a limitation to like how long you can be out in your chair? Do you have places that, you know, within the parks or outside the parks where you can, you know, kind of juice the chair back up, you know, stuff like that? Anything like that ever come up?
Yeah, so this is a good question because I actually have a funny story about this. When I was about 15 years old, I went to Disney World and my mom and I had went and we were, it was like right after the nighttime show at Epcot, I believe. And we were over in the World Showcase area and my wheelchair actually died when we were trying to get out of the park. So it was completely done and my mom had to manually push me out of the park, which is not easy to do for one person. Like my wheelchair weighs about 300 pounds. Oof. And then, you know, the weight of me on top of that. And so she's like struggling to push me across Epcot and to the park entrance and to our van. We had actually drove our van to the park that day. And so, I mean, that was quite the experience. And since then I've learned to always take my wheelchair charger with me and just put it like in the book bag, on the back of my wheelchair and to the park so I can charge it. And I have actually had to do that recently. So I was at Hollywood Studios and stepped inside the 50s Primetime Cafe. And I had to charge my wheelchair in there. But luckily, I've learned along the way to always take the charger with me.
Nice. If you're going to stop there and get a charge, I'd make sure I get a peanut butter and jelly shake from the Tune-In Lounge while I'm waiting.
Oh,
recharge yourself, too. You're right there. Yeah. Oh, God, I wish I had one of those today. I will tell you one story. And, you know, just again, I think that you don't understand, like, you know, like I get down there and I get all excited and, you know, I run a lot. And so, you know, I'm very mobile, you know, so I don't have that challenge. And still, like, you have all these frustrations on my Disney trip and I don't consider things. But I don't know if a lot of our listeners know this. The ones that have been with us for years and years may, that one time during a Disney vacation, I ended up in a wheelchair myself. Now, again, it was kind of your story just reminded me of this. I got ill, like really, really ill it was a hot summer night. We're at the Magic Kingdom and Paige, this is back when Paige was little, because this was the night before our very first podcast cruise. I think what it was, I was super nervous because I was getting ready to go on our first podcast cruise. All these people were now in town and this was actually going to happen. We just had a big meal at Wilderness Lodge at Whispering Canyon. I ate way too much, had a big dessert. It was 100 degrees. We decided to go back to Magic Kingdom, trying to get in a little bit more fun. And we decided to ride the cars, the Tomorrowland Speedway. The line was forever. Like, we were standing there, it was blazing hot, and I was breathing all those fumes, and I had eaten too much, and so I got really sick. I remember in Tomorrowland, I couldn't even walk. Like, I was really ill, so Disney, like, I don't know, somehow I ended up in a wheelchair. I remember that. So Pam pushed me out of Magic Kingdom in a wheelchair, like on a hot, hot July summer night. And I'm a big dude now, but I was even bigger back then. And she's real small. So like we had to get on my car was back at Wilderness Lodge. So we had to, take the boat in a wheelchair over from Magic Kingdom to the Wilderness Lodge. Then she had to push me, even though there were ramps at Wilderness Lodge. I don't know if you realize this, but if you have a manual like push wheelchair, there's a gigantic hill, you know, down that you got to go up to get to the parking lot as you're going up to the lobby there. And, you know, we struggled with that. I was really ill. And come to find out, we met Lou Mangiello at Wilderness Lodge at night. He's like, Mike? I'm like, Lou? He's like, why are you in a wheelchair? I'm like, long story. Got the cruise tomorrow. I'll talk to you later. But it was like one of those things that, you know, I think that you don't realize what a struggle something like, you know, because all I needed to do was get from Tomorrowland to my car that was parked at Wilderness Lodge. I would have never given it a second thought, you know, under normal circumstances, because I was ill and had those struggles. It was more of a challenge. And my wife was, thank God we're still married, and she took care of me that night, but didn't leave me on the curb. But you know what? I think that the thing is, like, everybody needs to slow down at Disney and realize that, you know, some things are easier for others than other people. So, you know, I want everybody, and our audience is awesome. We help each other out so much. But, you know, I think it's a great thing for you to come on here and just, you know, kind of remind people that Disney's for everybody, but also, you know, slow down. Let's all just be polite to each other. I think that's kind of what it boils down to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've always kind of been fast paced at Disney just because I want to do as much as possible and see as much as possible. But during my most recent trip, I really tried to slow it down and really just kind of take it all in, because I've been there a million times before, you know, so I wasn't in a rush to really see everything. And I always stay conscious of what my wheelchair battery is on, just so I know how much further I can go. But yeah, I mean, it's always good to just kind of take it slow at Disney and not overdo yourself, because I mean, Disney is huge. And if you overdo it, you're going to just be wore out by the second day of your trip.
Every trip for me, every trip. I'm like, this time I'm staying at the resort and I'm going to swim. Yeah, right. That never tends to happen. I get there, I'm like, oh, where are we going? Okay, so let me ask you about, okay, let's kind of shift gears here. And you were on the college program, which we've had a couple of shows over the last month or two with folks and their college program experiences. Again, one of my biggest regrets that I didn't get to do this. Tell us a little bit about yours. What was that like for you?
Yeah, so I did the college program, and I believe it was the spring of 2012. And I was a character attendant, usually for Winnie the Pooh, and it was at Hollywood Studios. So it was in the animation building, which they've gotten rid of, and I think it's now the where you can meet the Star Wars characters and people. So I don't know what the name of that building is now, sorry, but it's there in Hollywood Studios. And so I worked there for a semester, just one semester. And I worked with Winnie the Pooh pretty much every day, but sometimes Mickey, and I would always like interact with the kids in line and try to make the time go by a little quicker for them. But it was really an interesting experience because some of the kids were really trying to figure out, like, why is he in a wheelchair? And one kid one day, he looked up at me and he said, "Is your butt stuck?" And so he was like really trying to figure it out. And it was like every day it would be something just hilarious like that from some small kid that couldn't figure out why I had wheels on me.
So do you, and of course, I mean, I think that I know the answer to this because of your blog, which has won awards, you know, for being a best travel blog, and just the amount of folks you've spoken to, the Los Angeles Times, you've been on Travel Channel, USA Today, and so forth, you know, nationally syndicated shows. But are you kind of somebody who sees themselves as an ambassador for folks that are in wheelchairs and kind of just getting the word out that, you know what, this is, we're all in this together. And, you know, there's ways that, you know, things I have to think about, that you have to think about, that I don't have to think about, and vice versa. But I mean, like in that role with the Disney College program, you're there as a character attendant, you're meeting these kids, but maybe you're going to be that person that opens their eyes to just how, you know, varied the world can be.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely hope so. And, over the past few years, really, since I started Curb Free with Corey Lee, I think I've kind of became an ambassador of sorts, just because I'm out there and hopefully showing other wheelchair users and people across the world, even without disabilities, that traveling is possible no matter what your abilities are, whether you can walk or if you're in a wheelchair. I mean, you can definitely travel, whether it's just a couple hours away or even in your own hometown if you can't really get out that far. I mean, there's always something new to see no matter where you're at or how far you travel. And I really, I mean, that's kind of became my mission in life, is just to show others what all is possible. I mean, I would say I've kind of became an ambassador, and hopefully I continue to inspire others.
I think that's awesome. You know, I love it because, again, like I said, that, you know, when I was a brand new teacher, you know, I got thrown into a sixth grade. My first year was in second grade, and I tried to block that out. That was a nightmare. I didn't have the energy to keep up with second graders. But when I got into my spot where I wanted to be in sixth grade, my first full year of teaching, you know, I didn't have experience with a lot of things. You know, my world was very small growing up here in North St. Louis County. In the Midwest, you know, and the thing was, we're in a very diverse school district. So I got to learn a lot of things that I might have made mistakes, or I might have not said the right thing or done the right thing just because I didn't have the experience. And I think that it's important that everybody has expectations and knowledge for how we can help each other as fellow guests, you know, how we can help cast members, how cast members can help us, and so forth. But if somebody takes the time today, and I really hope they do this week, to drop by your website at curbfreewithcoreylee.com, what kind of stuff are they going to see there? Because, you know, this is something that I think that, you know, this is good reading for everybody, but what could they expect?
On the blog, I really try to show, I do reviews of like accessible attractions or hotels, and I mean, even city. I write like city guides of what to do and Copenhagen, Denmark, and where to stay, what to do, how to get around, like things like that. So I really try to portray as much information about a place and its accessibility whenever I travel somewhere. And so if I'm traveling to any destination, I really want to uncover what all is accessible and exactly how great is the accessibility, because I don't want to tell somebody to go somewhere if they can only do one or two attractions there, you know. So I really try to uncover exactly what's accessible and hopefully show that on the blog, and also share some travel tips about flying and cruising and all of the modes of transportation also.
That's awesome. So one other thing before we get out of here, because I know your time's limited and you know, I've loved this today, but you know, I think that another thing folks might not consider is that, you know, we could all be in this situation. You know, maybe you're not going to be something where you're in a wheelchair permanently, but you know, like with Paige, she had she was a cross country runner in high school, and she was, you know, obviously a 4-year starter on the soccer team, very good athlete, but she got stress fractures in her shins, so she was, you know, very immobile. So I think that, you know, maybe somebody today's not, you know, maybe they're tuned in and they're, you know, this is great information for maybe the, well, you know, this is just good stuff to know to put in the back of my mind. But the thing is that, you know, I could be, you know, when I go down in June, when we're going on our family vacation, I mean, I could have mobility issues. I mean, I could twist my knee on my next run and have, you know, blow out an ACL, and I'm, you know, on crutches or in a wheelchair. So I think this is something. I mean, do you see that your readers sometimes are folks that are temporarily in this situation? And it's very, I would imagine it's very eye opening for them.
Yeah, I mean, whether you are currently in a wheelchair or not, I mean, your children maybe one day, or your grandkids or future generations. So by not only making the world accessible now, you're not only helping me, but you're also helping those future generations to come, which is great. And maybe even yourself one day, as you said. So yeah, I mean, I think Disney really does an excellent job at accessibility, and they've really took that into consideration by making it accessible. They are helping, I mean, millions of guests a year, I'm sure. And even people with strollers, like with the ramps and things like that. So everything is not only about being wheelchair accessible, it's about being just like people accessible, and just making things easier for everyone. And so I think Disney does an excellent job at that. And I hope that people listening will take that into consideration whenever they're traveling somewhere. If you see something that's not accessible, say something and just try to, I mean, be nice about it, but just maybe remind them that it should be accessible, or and even like suggest ways that it could easily be made accessible. Because a lot of people don't really think about, oh, well, how can I make this restaurant accessible? Or they don't even think about it. And just by laying out like a simple small ramp, like it could enable me to go there, or I mean millions of other wheelchair users also.
That's awesome. That makes sense. I hope we get to be down at Walt Disney World here at the same time soon, or you know, some destination. I don't go very many other places, but it would totally be my honor. So where can people catch up with you on the social media if they want to get in contact and you know, kind of keep up with what you're up to?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook at Curb Free with Corey Lee, and on Twitter at Corey Lee Tweets, and on Instagram at Curb Free Corey Lee.
All right. Well, Corey, thanks so much. And like I said, hope to catch you at a Disney destination soon. Really appreciate your time, and great show today. And I hope it really helps a lot of folks. Thanks again, Corey.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books. Get inspired here. It's spring. Grab a book. Grab both of them. The Wisdom of Walt, the original about Disneyland, and Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, down focused on Walt Disney World and Walt's dream of taking the Disneyland concept to the East Coast, to Central Florida. Both books will get you inspired and help you build better relationships with those around you. Grab a book. Get under a tree here in the spring and have a great time. Check them out at thewisdomofwalt.com. And of course, avoid the crowds if it's possible. And it's a science, really. It is. It's our friends over at touringplans.com. They have the information you need to steer away from the crowds, not the clowns. I don't know if there's clowns, you might want to steer away from them too, but at least the crowds, and save time on your next Disney or Universal vacation. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. And don't forget, as you do your shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really does help. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at brguestmike. And we've got a great Facebook page over at facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. Also, don't forget to drop by the Facebook page. We have announced the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 5.0. Holy cow, we're doing this for the fifth time. It's going to be on the Disney Dream June 28th through July 3rd, 2019. We're going to Castaway Key, not one time, we're going twice. We're going to have a great time on a five-night Bahamian cruise, two stops at Castaway Key. So if you want any information on that, Mike at brguestpodcast.com will get you that information right away. All right, time to cut you loose for your Monday. Hopefully it's going well for you. And by the time we talk again, you'll be halfway through this week. Look at that. Look how it works. So for Corey, I am Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.